727-5955 or 503-250-1080. Remind me to check in later with Matt. I only got like 2 weeks that I can say note to self. Yeah, after 2 weeks, I say note to self, and I'm like, Matt's going to take my note.
You'll have a new self.
Yeah. Rick, keep your chin up. You can always find someone younger, hotter, and more limber. Brandon. I'm a big fan of that. Hey, Sarah, are you younger than Christina?
I actually am. I just turned 22.
Yeah, baby. That's what I'm talking about.
She's about 10 months younger than I am.
Oh, excellent. All right. Hey, when is your sister going to be in town, by the way? She's younger than you.
She will actually be here for Thanksgiving. So, I don't know. She's never been into the studio. You want to come in?
Has she ever met a real live DJ?
You know, she has not. So maybe she'll come in on Friday, if you're really nice.
Is she like a gymnast or something?
She's not a gymnast. She's very musical. She's a good...
Really?
She's a dancer. Right. So
she doesn't take any... can she touch her ankle to her forehead?
I'm sure she probably can.
Sweet. All right. Rick, I just had to comment on Jolie's request to fill Christina's spot on the show. Could you tell me the exact amount of time between Christina's announcement of her departure and Jolie arriving in studio to express interest in the seat now filled by Christina? I suspect that John's new job is a clever ruse diabolically perpetrated by Jolie in order to swoop in and feast on Christina's still warm carcass. I could be wrong, but you never know. That's Tina in California. That's Tina of Chad and Tina, by the way. All right. 1-800-727-5955. Coming up later on today, we got Richard Nunn from the WB. He's going to join us. More of your phone calls. Today's top five and the inaugural edition of How Chicks Think with Feasting Jolie from the front desk. This is Tim Riley's in the KOTK Newsroom.
From the KOTK Newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
It's 1:04. Tim Riley with news brought to you by Everybody's Garden Center. Oh, here we go again. Two men hospitalized after a shooting in North Portland early this morning. Gunfire erupted outside the Shamrock restaurant. The luck of the Irish weren't with the two men, shot in their car while in the parking lot. They started driving to get away, but crashed their car along the brand new Max tracks just a few feet away. They were taken to the hospital, but nobody's releasing any information about these guys. A Portland man who threatened the president told a federal judge today in South Dakota that state's drought will worsen if he doesn't get credit for mistakes in his criminal record. Richard Humphreys told the district court judge, if he shows him no mercy, God will show mercy to him. Humphreys, wearing a prison uniform and a scruffy beard, was scheduled to be sentenced for remarking about a burning bush during the president's March 2000 trip to Sioux Falls. Humphreys' lawyer was given till next week to argue why his client should be given less time in prison, not more. He faces 5 years. He was arrested in Sioux Falls. His lawyer says his client has a history of mental illness and shouldn't be punished for that. Well, listen to this. Executives at eBay have compiled this top 20 hot toy list for the holidays after asking manufacturers and retailers in July to predict what will be in the greatest demand.
Is this that Harry Potter room that doubles as a vibrator?
Let me look here.
All right. You know what I'm talking about. Sarah, you know what I'm talking about over there. Have you seen that? Have you got that thing sent to you?
I don't know that I've got... I was in a Target.
I saw that on your website.
I swear to God, I'm not making this up. They were selling this Harry... It was called the Nimbus 7000 or whatever it is.
It's actually from the story.
It's from the movie. There was this broom they were selling on Amazon. I guess the company was selling it, but you could buy it at the store. But it was selling. But it's a broom, right? But it's targeted specifically at girls for some reason. And when you put it between your legs and squeeze it, it vibrates. And so there's all these. The best thing is there's all these great, like, because you know on Amazon you can rank things with user comments. Like, this is the greatest book I've ever read, or this book is awful. So you go, you look at this broom, which, you know, it's a big vibrating penis-shaped object. And oh, that you that when properly used, vibrates between your legs. It's just what it is. And so the user comments are all, this is the greatest toy I have ever received. My mom gave this to me, and I use it every day. Then there was this one. There's the, I bought this for my daughter, but I think it's a lot of fun, too. I have laid in an extra supply of batteries for... And I read somewhere the other day that they discontinued selling it. And so now you go to eBay, and they're going for, like, $300.
Wait, so they took it off the market?
Well, they discontinued selling it on Amazon anyway. I don't know, I don't know if the company actually still makes it. But they discontinued selling it on Amazon, because, hello, vibrator.
Well, in the story, it is a flying broom, so it probably has to do something... kind of unusual.
Well, it does something unusual.
All right. So here are some of these toys. Baby Annabelle interpretive doll. Barbie as a Rapunzel doll. Beyblades. Bob the Builder toys. Bratz fashion dolls. Care Bear stuffed animals.
Man,
Chicken Dance Elmo toy.
Okay, let's back up for a moment. Don't you wish you'd invented Barbie? Is Barbie not the greatest scam in the history of all toys?
Indeed.
Man, Barbies, you want to talk about giving them the razor, selling them the blades. It's like you want to horrify yourself. Like, if you want another reason not to have children, and if you have children not to have girls, take a gander through that Barbie aisle, KB Toys or something, or go to, like, a Toys R Us, wander through there, and it's just this huge, like, walls of fuchsia on either side. And you walk through there, and it's like everything is like $700,000. It's just everything is just incredibly expensive. And if you don't get girls the proper Barbie stuff, they harbor all these weird grudges about it forever. You know, like, Laura is, I mean, she had her birthday this week. She's 29 years of age. And she still seethes about all these Barbie things that she wanted when she was a girl and didn't get. And, like, she wanted the Barbie Corvette and didn't get it. And there was this hideous, trampy girl named Patrice who lived down the street who got all the Barbie dolls and all the Barbie outfits, and Laura's still all pissed off about it and carries these big grudges about it to this day.
I actually never owned a Barbie.
What?
I never had one. I didn't want one. I never had a Barbie doll.
What the hell is wrong with you? I thought every girl wanted a Barbie.
No, my sister had like 30 or something, but of course, no, I didn't want one. So.
What was your, did you have any of the chick stuff? Did you get the Easy Bake oven and all that?
No, I didn't really have that either. I really like to, like, draw.
What do you get, girls?
I had a lot of My Little Pony stuff. I really liked Rainbow Bright and Strawberry Shortcake as well.
Yeah, baby.
But Barbie was just not for me. And I became a tomboy when I was about a second grader, so
You just turned into one?
Yeah, I just kind of turned into one. So, then
did you play with boy toys then?
Well, I played with boys, but...
Yeah, all right. Okay. Well, there's no... I'm sorry, but anyway. So what was the rest of the thing after Barbie?
Well, we have Casey the Kinderbot toy, Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets Lego set.
You know, let me just talk to you about Legos for a second.
Sure.
Can I speak to you about Legos, and let's just be men and talk to each other about Legos for a moment? Here's how Legos have become bad. Do you remember when you were a kid, you get Legos and you actually had to build stuff? I remember growing up and getting Lego toys, and you actually had to create things. You would get a big, like, you'd open up a big Lego box, and you get the bucket of Legos, and there wasn't crap already put together in there. There wasn't stuff that was already prefabricated. You open the big box of Legos, and it was just a bunch of little bricks that weren't connected. It was just a bunch of goddamn bricks that were just sitting there useless, and you had to put them all together and actually construct things. You take a good look at the Legos they sell now, the so-called Lego building blocks they sell in the store, and it's like all of this stuff that's already put together. Like, they got the Lego ship, but the Lego ship is already one big piece of molded plastic. You don't have to assemble it. Doesn't take any actual work. When I was a boy, and there really is no other way to phrase this, when I was a boy, you had to work to make your Lego stuff do things. It didn't just come out, pop out all pre-assembled. These kids today. I don't know what Legos are all about.
No, they have the Malibu Barbie, too.
Yeah. Which is different from the regular Barbie in no discernible way other than price. So, anyway. And then it's like, and then your parents would do that thing of, did your parents ever do this with toys? Well, they'll get you the knockoff. Like, they'll get you, like, it's the toy is just slightly wrong. Like, you're asking for Barbie and they get you, you know, like Skipper or whatever the generic thing is, whatever the generic version of Barbie is. See, boys don't have to worry about that. There is no boy. There's no boy version of Barbie. I guess there's maybe G.I. Joe, but that doesn't really count because they don't sell
Transformers
anymore. They don't sell Transformers anymore, do they? I don't think they do. I think Transformers have gone off the market, except at stores that pander to aging nostalgic Gen Xers like myself. Like, I don't think the kids today are down with Transformers. There is no boy equivalent of Barbie dolls. Boys are just...
Games have become like the new, like, doll, but...
Yeah, I suppose, but even video games are more for adults than they are for kids these days.
Yeah.
You know, when I was... Here, let's clock how many times I can use this phrase, like, in this segment. When I was growing up, video games... Like, there wasn't... Like, your dad wasn't going out there buying himself an Atari system. Like, the Atari system was for the kids. The Atari system was for the kids who were, like, 12, 13, 14. Your parents weren't playing it. Your parents were usually actively opposed to you getting video games because they always feared that you were going to be inflicted with Space Invader's wrist or Pac-Man thumb or something. There was some other... It was like tennis elbow. There was some other affliction. But now, now it's completely reversed itself. With the guys who are buying themselves the video game systems, they're all like former Weapon Master Ian Gordon. They're all these guys who are 31 years of age, and the kid barely gets to play it at all because dad's like laying in the whole Xbox system for himself.
But the thing is that the kids that had video games when they were a kid are now the parents.
Yeah.
And so it's like they've always had video games. Like Ian, you know Ian played video games when he was a kid. So,
completely.
Of course, he's still playing video games now.
Yeah.
So, like, the whole generation has just grown older, and so now it's targeted towards adults, not toward kids.
And it's odd to me that girls never bonded with video games. Like, there is no video game nor video game system for girls other than Tetris. That's it. That's all chicks ever play. It's like they came, they made Tetris, screw you. That's what you get, and they went home. It was just like...
Mario was okay for girls.
Yeah.
It was kind of cute, but...
Yeah.
What about The Legend of Zelda, though? That was
Legend of Zelda appeals to girls, though, because it's not violent, because it's a problem-solving game. Girls are all about, girls aren't with the hack-and-slash action the way that boys are. You're never going to find some girl playing Gauntlet. Gauntlet was a video game. It was very popular about 1988.
Thank you very much.
When you all were in second grade. All right.
How about these Yu-Gi-Oh! Trading cards?
Oh, that's more of that Japanese stuff. Man, the Japanese have got an almost unholy hold over the minds of our children, don't they?
Yeah.
You know, at any point, it's just like one big Jonestown thing. The Japanese could just start injecting, kill your parents, the messages and all that stuff, and they would immediately, it'd be like Village of the Damned, man. All right.
Well, let's talk about something else here. John Leguizamo plays Victor Rosa, Latino gangster and drug dealer who tries to get out of business at Empire. John, did you have any desire to make a gangster movie?
Ever since I did Carlito's Way, and I played Benny Blanco in the Bronx and had to shoot Al Pacino, well, I've been wanting to do a gangster film, like, ever since that time. Even when I was a kid, I loved gangster flicks. And I've been down to do the right one that represented correctly, that had the right edge, that was realistic, and that took gangster movies to a whole new level. And Empire came my way. I read it, and I was like, wow, this rocks, man. Whoever wrote this was hanging out with these type of people.
Please don't take this.
I couldn't even tell if that was the end. Was that the end?
I guess so.
Do you ever do this where you run across people, and they're usually celebrities that are really intelligent and really do their art well, but then they open their mouth for an interview, and they're just friggin' morons? You know, Tom Petty's like this. Tom Petty is a great songwriter, one of the great singer-songwriters of the last 25 years. Still is. Still writes songs that are great. They're deep. They're meaningful. You know, they really kind of cut to the heart of the human condition. But then he opens his mouth and he just sounds like he's just toked up a huge, like he just smoked himself a huge bowl. Wait, maybe that's the case. I don't know. But it's like, Tom, explain to me about, about working with the Heartbreakers. Well, I just do what I do. You know, and he sounds like Bob Dylan being played on half speed. So same thing with John Leguizamo. John Leguizamo really gets in there, and he can really knock out some great movies. He does great. If you've seen his one-man piece, if you've seen John Leguizamo's Freak, it's a monologue that he did on Broadway, and it's really good stuff. It's real compelling, and, it's real touching. But then you see the guy, like, interviewed in Rolling Stone or on E! Or something, and it's just... You know, he's got like one half-firing synapse, like, to put together the whole interview with. It's just strange.
John, we bet there are a lot of gang members in the neighborhood when you grew up.
They're just fantastic actors.
Because you're not
so
white.
It really keeps you on your toes, keeps you sharp.
This is completely not the right
interview.
Nobody
treats anybody special.
It doesn't even sound like
this
him, does it?
This isn't John Leguizamo.
Yeah, it sounds like some white guy.
Really, it isn't.
Very much so. It's not.
Okay.
Well,
that
was a nice try anyway.
This movie.
Yeah, go see whoever's movie that is. Portland Metro forecast for today, it is going to be sunny. Highs in the mid-50s.
Is Matt
going
to continue to be sick all week?
I'd
just like to know that right now before I even show up tomorrow.
Because Matt never, ever screws things up, so.
Well, listen to that. A kitten's got claws.
They're out.
You know, it's going to be clear tonight, but lows only in the 20s, the coldest night yet. Sunny tomorrow, highs in the mid-50s, and do we have any rain in the forecast? None. It's going to be beautiful all the way through, Thanksgiving through the weekend. Tim Riley in the KOTK Newsroom, live around the world at KOTK.com.
All right. Could today's show be more any just joined you? We possibly find, anyway, this show is like, do you ever have a top when you were a kid and you're spinning the top, and then something bumps it, or it bumps into a chair leg, and it starts going, and then, like, with each turn, it just becomes exponentially, like, more wobbly. It's like a geometrical progression of the wobbliness. That's today's show. 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080. Later on for the sound, we've got the How Chicks Think with Jolie from the front desk. Also today's top five. We're going to get Don and Sean here in a moment. Full-time listener in Portland. It's Mark. What do you got, man?
What's up, Rick?
What do you got?
Hey, Legos are the best.
Well, Legos were the best when I was growing up, but it's like kids today, they don't have to work with the Legos. You
not
open a box, pirate ship comes out, it's already made, it's already absolutely completed. Where's the
exactly.
work?
Exactly, man. I still even have the set that I have when I was a kid. I got them put away in a box, and they're, I mean, it's nostalgia all over.
Yeah, no, it's true. And that you can already tell with certain toys that they're completely pandering to the fact that I'm pining away from my lost youth. And there's certain things they're already marketing to me. Like, I was kind of wandering through Toys R Us or something the other day, and it was like, and it was like Pitfall or Dig Dug or some crap, but it was like Dig Dug 2002, and it was some completely revamped version of some video game from my childhood. So, just makes me feel manipulated, and yet I'm powerless to resist.
Hey, when you were talking about the toys that are not quite right, a friend of mine had like the fake Lego set. And it was like two sizes of blocks and two colors, and that was it.
No, remember they had Lego, and then if your kid was retarded, they had Duplo so he wouldn't swallow them and choke to death?
I think that was the one. And I was like, what do you build with this crap?
Yeah, this is guy. That's what I'm talking about. Duplo had that big stupid red bunny logo on the front. That's Mark. Let's see. Let's get Sean in Portland. What's up with you, man?
Hey, man. Transformers, they're bigger than ever now.
With whom?
With the kids.
With kids? Like, when you say the kids, you mean actual kids or with, like, people my age who
My
impression
they're
kids?
My friend has a young boy, and he's all he can talk about, Transformers.
Excellent. Remember,
but
like,
back in the day, the rip-off was GoBots.
Now, you're way ahead of me here. I was just going to say, do you remember, like, when I was growing up, there was Transformers and there were GoBots. And Transformers and GoBots, that was sort of like the Coke and Pepsi of the altering robot genre.
They were lame.
And my parents, of course, my parents were not all that hip with what the kids were down with, and they were cheap. And so they would buy the GoBots. And, of course, you couldn't take the GoBots out at school because then your friends would mock you for having a knockoff. It's like some sort of a Hot Wheels Matchbox sort of a face-off. And if your kids, if your friends saw you with the GoBots, it was like, you might as well just carry a welfare check to work. You know what I mean? Because that's what it was painting you as. All right, excellent. That's Sean. 1-800-727-5955. We're going to get Scott here in a moment, and Don. First-time caller here is Bruce.
Yes.
Yeah, on Hot Talk 1080 KFTK. What's up?
Rick, what's going on, man?
What do you got?
Hey, E-Man, Master of the Universe.
Dude.
They're back also.
Dude, do you ever watch Crossfire on CNN?
Every once in a while.
You ever watch James Carville looks just like Skeletor, and I don't know when that happened. Like, I don't know what, if he's gone on some sort of a diet, or if he's just if he's just had some bad plastic surgery and his skin's been unduly pulled back from the front of his face, but James Carville and Skeletor have become the same person.
Oh, yeah, no, they're bringing them all back. E-Man, Master of the Universe, Skeletor, and also the Transformers and whatnot.
God, and
they're
coming
back big time.
You know why? It's because they know that somebody like my ass is going to go to a Star Trek convention, and I'm going to see some like Optimus Prime toy, and I'm going to pay like $450 for it.
Exactly.
You know, because I won't let go of my faded adolescence.
Exactly. The only difference is now is they're putting the electronics things in them now and whatnot.
So. Yeah. I remember when they first came out, speaking of electronics, I remember when Lego first marketed that thing where it was like the Lego, and then it had like a little engine, a little like wheels, so you could like make your Lego car and it would go forward.
Right.
I'm talking about, man. Hey, are you a first-time caller?
Yes.
Excellent. How'd you discover the show here?
Just working out in the vineyard out in Dayton and whatnot and flipping through the channels and caught you before Lycus, so just started listening.
Excellent. The question is, are you spreading the word?
Oh, heck yeah.
When's the last time you spread the word?
When I first started working here, the other guy I was working with, I got him listening to it also. Primarily, most of the other guys that I work with are the Hispanic origin, so they don't really solve the English too much.
Well, you know, but where better to learn the English language and all its varying, you know, its varying complexities than on this show?
Oh, you bet.
All right, there you go. That's Bruce. It's 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080. Let's see. What the hell have I done? In Portland, it's Marianne. What's up with you?
Hey, Rick. I have a guy that I work with that, I kid you not, got on a plane and flew to Fort Wayne, Indiana, to a Transformers convention.
Let's try to dissect which is the more frightening part of that sentence. Fort Wayne, Indiana, or Transformers. Or just convention. Like, it could be a come get laid and eat jerky for free convention. And I wouldn't go to Fort Wayne.
It was really scary. And now my 11-year-old is getting into Transformers. And like, you know, I just got to talk to Mike. He's so cool. And I'm like, oh my God.
You could have a free bags of cocaine convention in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and I wouldn't go to it there.
I lived there for 10 years.
Oh, God. Were you born there?
No, I was not.
Oh, so you just woke up one day and decided to go kick it Fort Wayne style?
You know, it's a really long, boring story, so
All right. All right, there you go. That's Marianne. It's 1-800-727-5955. What a peculiar curse it's got to be going through life as a woman named Marianne. You know what I mean? I mean, I wonder at what age, like the Gilligan's jokes, just start to drive you absolutely clinically insane. I don't know. Let's see. The hell am I doing here? I have nothing. Scott, you're in Beaverton. What's up?
Hey, man. How's it going?
What do you got?
Hey, I'm your age, and I'm in a adult Lego collector's club.
When you say adult Lego, you don't mean like with penises.
No.
Oh, you mean you mean like, oh, you're just actually an adult still collecting Legos.
Exactly.
Do you have a girlfriend or a wife?
Girlfriend.
Okay, what does she think about this, or have you told her? Have you broken the news?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And what?
Oh, yeah, I've got thousands of Legos.
On what date did you tell your girlfriend that you're a Lego collector?
Probably at the very beginning.
Well, you just figured like you wanted to give her a chance to run screaming into the night, or?
Yeah, you know, it works.
Yeah, all right, excellent.
No, man, I'm telling you, there's a website you have to check out, though.
Uh-huh.
It's Pacific Northwest Lego Train Club. It's PNLTC, and it's .org.
Jesus Christ. Okay, and that's what
is... I'm serious, man. You got to see this.
I'm writing it down. And what is that exactly?
It's Pacific Northwest Lego Train Club.
Right, but I mean, what is it, though?
We do huge Lego train displays. We got invited to Legoland last year. They paid for us to come down.
Yeah.
We did a 50 by 25 foot display.
Okay.
And we build replicas of buildings in Portland, Seattle, Space Needle. Battleships.
This is some weird, skewed version of that thing in school where they have you make murals out of dried beans. You know what I mean? Where they give you like a paper plate and you've got to do like the Virgin Mary and dried pistachios or something on it. How many dollars would you say you've invested in your Lego
hobby?
Far
too much.
Yeah. Give me a ballpark.
I have actually a small collection compared to other people. I've probably got around 5,000.
Jesus, God in heaven.
Like I said, it's not much. I've got other guys that probably have 30,000, 40,000 invested.
Good God Almighty. At what point would you not just wake up and look in the mirror and realize you have to kill yourself? You know what I mean? All right,
well,
excellent.
It's actually really funny. We have get-togethers that are meetings, and we talk about it. You can exchange the word Lego for heroin, and it's just the sentences flow.
Is there a single woman at these meetings?
Yeah, there's actually two women in the club.
Do they look like men or do they look like women?
They look like women.
And all right. What's the give us the URL one more time?
It's PNLTC.org.
Excellent. All right, there you go. There's Scott in Beaverton. All right, it's 1-800-727-5955. Oh, we're gonna get one more quickly here, and then we got the top five coming up here in a while. Don't go anywhere. Let's see, Don, you're a full time listener. What do you got, brother?
Rick, how's it going?
What do you got, man?
Okay, I just want to bitch to you because you are the man.
Okay.
I'm not going to name names, Tiger Cinemas, but I went to a movie theater. I went to a movie this weekend, and me and my wife, we sat there, and we counted. We paid $8.50 to get into this movie.
Mm-hmm.
We counted 10 commercials before the movie. Now, I may be touching your third rail, you know, railing on the commercials.
You have to buy me flowers before you're... Yeah.
But 10 commercials. Okay, I'm paying...
This has been a bone of contention for years. You're paying like $18 to go to the movie, depending on where and when you go anyway, and you have to sit there and watch endless Mountain Dew commercials.
And you can't fast forward through them.
No.
You can't do nothing.
In fact,
you have to sit there and we counted them. There were literally 10 commercials and 4 previews.
All right, let me just say this. We ought to start a new segment. Note to self. We ought to start a new segment called When I'm King. Because when I'm king, the paper's going to actually have to list the time the movie actually starts. The paper will not be allowed to say 5:15 if the movie starts at 5:45, as was the case when I went to see 8 Mile. It was half an hour after the posted start time that the movie actually began. When I'm king, they'll have to post the time the movie's actually going to start rolling.
We went there. The movie started at 6:20.
Yeah.
The movie actually didn't roll, and I looked at my watch until 6:45.
See, it's just horrible.
Isn't that wrong?
Oh, no, it's complete. It makes you want to drive a meat thermometer right through your ear. I'm with you. All right, that's done. 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080. When I'm king. Well, first there'll be the genocide. But after that, correct movie start times. Be the first against the wall when the revolution comes. Power to the people. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland, 1-800-727-5955. Coming up, we got Rick Emerson's Top 5. Also, another edition, the inaugural edition of How Chicks Think with Jolie from the Front Desk. Later on, the WB's Richard Nunn. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland, 1-800-727-5955. You can also email us. It's rick@rickemerson.com. We will be back after this. Don't go anywhere. It's Hot Talk 1080, KOTK.
When you're rich and you're rich and all the way from you. Big old boy, you got friends, you're a family man.
Portland, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
I love that bump.
Oh, no. It's...
Do you really know all the words to that song?
I do. West Side Story is actually a musical I know pretty well. As I said last week, when it comes to musicals, if you're a man, you're allowed to like anything where Clint Eastwood sings. You're allowed to like anything with Cannibal in the title. Or you can like West Side Story, because it's got gangs and shooting.
West Side Story is my very favorite musical.
Yeah, so you're totally allowed to watch West Side Story. All right, here's Christina with the traffic.
7:31, Tim Riley with news, brought to you by Radio Shack. Say, why wait till Thanksgiving to gobble up great deals when you can shop now and save big at Radio Shack? Beat the rush and enjoy great savings on video, audio, and more now at Radio Shack. Here's something for the kids. Dawson's Creek star James Vanderbeek is working hard to expand the image he projects and get rid of the wholesome reputation he has. In his newest film, The Rules of Attraction, he puts more of himself in the role by picking his nose. It wasn't in the script. It was me. I thought it was a nice tight shot. It would make it more interesting. Well, Die Another Day is the biggest film ever opening for a Bond film, taking in $47 million. Here's a scene from Pierce Brosnan in Halle Berry.
James, here for the penguins this time? Or for the view again?
Right now I'm only interested in endangered species.
Oh, well, does that include me?
Depends on what you're up to this time.
So I left you in an explosive situation. You're a big boy. Figured you could handle yourself.
No wonder your relationships don't last.
I'm a girl that just doesn't like to get tied down.
Yeah. Is that Halle Berry right there?
It was, yes.
Right.
We have another scene here.
Well, you know what they keep showing over and over again ad infinitum is that shot of her getting out of the water. You know what I'm talking about? Where she's putting her hand through her hair.
She's got the orange bathing suit on.
But she's totally just doing the Ursula Andress thing. Isn't that exactly the same shot from Dr. No? You know what I'm talking about?
No.
Yeah,
perhaps.
Yeah, never mind. Just talking to myself.
Well, in this scene, Bond and another agent named Miranda Frost, played by Rosamund Pike, hide from victims by kissing each other, pretending to be a couple. Not just smooching in this scene, kids.
Remember, I know all about you, 007. Sex for dinner, death for breakfast. Well, it's not going to work with me.
No?
No.
Mm. This really works in the radio. Jesus Christ. It's just like listening to my neighbors on Friday night.
Are we still being watched?
Well, they left ages ago.
Oh, God, you're impossible.
Well, yeah, that was great.
Oh, okay.
It's going to be sunny today, highs in the mid-50s, clear tonight, lows only in the 20s. Sunny again tomorrow, highs in the mid-50s. And for Turkey Day, morning fog, but mostly sunny.
Can we please have a moratorium on the phrase Turkey Day, seeing as how I hate it with a white-hot passion? What the hell does Turkey Day mean?
No more Turkey Day.
It's just, you don't even eat turkey.
I don't, no.
All right, this year it's corn, baby. Clyde actually claims that I've already had corn, and that's a lot of alliteration in one sentence there.
I've had it before.
Okay, but I mean, he claims that I had it at a Chinese restaurant. Is that the sort of thing they serve at Chinese places, do you suppose? Corn, is that that fungus that it's kind of meaty?
Not unless you ordered fungus.
No, I pretty much would make a conscious note not to order fungus if I was aware that it was on the menu. I don't know. Anyway, there's a good point, that time to mention, though, that coming out of this Thursday for Thanksgiving, we will be live. We'll be here, as is our wont, doing the same fine, stellar radio program we do the other 364 days, give or take, out of the year. So, plus tofurkey and corn. So
and all the trimmings.
On Thursday, yes.
So, that's it. Tim Riley, the KOTK Newsroom.
Call now to join us, 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, it's 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080. Coming up later on, we got the top five, also the inaugural edition of Rick Emerson's How Chicks Think. Let's see, what have we got here? These are all just, these emails just go on and on and on. Rick, you should do a remote from Bend. Stay with Christina and her husband until he kicks you and her back to Portland. All right, it's from Bruce.
Until John kicks you and I back to Portland?
Until he kicks us back here. Let's see, in Beaverton, David is the first time caller. What's up with you?
Oh, not much. I just wanted to jump back to the toy subject real quick.
Of course. It's good. Is it any wonder that women just find us completely immature and juvenile? You know, I'm going to be 30 years of age in like 90 days. Here, let me talk to you about Legos and Transformers. Is it any wonder that women find me repellent? Yeah. All right. What do you got?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yes.
the subject I wanted to touch on real quick is I have a lot of friends spending many, many different ages, and I've always hung out with people a lot more older than I have. And it is amazing to me how some of the younger friends that I have, like my kid brother, some of my, actually my friends as kids, are so hot into the old toys, like the Decepticons and the Autobots and the old classic Legos and these stickers, and even some of my friends that are, you know, just a little bit younger than I am, in their, you know, in their late teens, early 20s, getting tattoos of, you know, these subjects and their logos and whatnot.
It's because they recognize...
I actually grew up playing with them, and they were like, you know, two.
It's because they recognize quality, my friend. It says quality never goes out of style.
Oh, yeah. So... And I just saw on TV yesterday, for the first time, I saw, Metroid revamped, completely revamped for the brand new PS2 and for the Xbox. And, you know, I grew up playing with the original Metroid.
No, it's true. It's true. It's we're trendsetters, David.
Oh, yeah.
You, me, our people, we're setting the mold for the kids. All right, that's David. His first time calling on Beaverton. All right, it's 1-800-737-5955. Rick, whatever happened to that girl who came in for the interview for the Christina job? Chris Rowe, Therese.
You liked her, didn't you?
Temptress of my heart. The thing about Therese is it's like I... There's just no way. There's no way she's ever gonna get the job because she's never gonna want it. Therese is one of those people who probably likes the idea of your job a lot more than she would actually like your actual job. You know what I mean? It's like she likes the idea of what she thinks that you do every day, but then she comes in and sees it as like hitting, just like demeaning and underpaid, and suddenly it just doesn't seem so. And she's so vastly overqualified. And that's the thing. It's like she worked in Hollywood, she worked in television, she worked in the Larry Sanders Show. She's, you know, beautiful. She's, you know, she's obviously got a lot of experience. I mean, there's just no way that she would ever work out in radio. She's just got way too much on the ball. You got to be either half insane or incompetent or
really young.
Or young enough and you got some stupid communications degree that's doing you no good at all. Those are the reasons you end up in radio. And it didn't even keep you here for it. It only kept your ass here for a year. So it's not going to work on her at all. And I am poorer for it. All right. Here's your top five for Monday.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, fire. Counting is wonderful. Counting is marvelous. Counting's the best thing to do. Counting is happiness. Counting is ecstasy. I love to count, don't you?
We gotta have those Barbarella guys do a studio version of that cover they did of us. Here's Tim Riley with your top five.
And in honor of the newly acquired drinking age, the Rick Emerson Show celebrates the Bush Twins' 21st birthday by counting down the top five songs from the day they were born, November 25th, 1981.
These are the top five songs from the day that Jenna and Barbara Bush were born.
Number five, here's Air Supply, and Here I Am, now, just when I thought I was over you.
Starting off real strong.
So there's no
sense. Oh, God.
They're just a great song.
But you guys were like
a year.
Like a year old?
I was almost 2 years.
Great. Swell.
Sarah was about a year old. Celebrating your year birthday.
Jesus. Your parents didn't throw you a birthday party for your 1 year birthday. Can I just tell you this? That's something that's... There's no reason... If your child can't stand up or swallow its own food, there's no reason to throw them a birthday party.
I went to a one-year-old birthday party on Halloween, actually.
See, that's just retarded.
And it was a costume party. It was catered. He had his own cake.
Any creature that still defecates on itself doesn't deserve a birthday party.
Like, we had the cake for everybody, but then we had his own solo cake so that he could smash his face in it and everything.
If you can't hold your own urine, you don't get a cake.
Well, what about older people?
They don't get... Once you're incontinent, no cake for you. If you can hold food in your body, you can put food in your body. Otherwise, no.
Number four, the Rolling Stones and Start Me Up.
Wait, hold on. This is good. How did this get on you? You know, this started out as a reggae song. This actually, they were going to do this as a reggae song. And they'd recorded like 35 different versions of it as a reggae song. And then just to be amusing, they knocked one out as a rock song. And it clicked. It was so obvious to them that it should be a rock song. This was fully intended to be a reggae song because Keith Richards is such a huge Peter Tosh fan. And was such
so
a huge fan.
So a reggae song by the Stones.
Right. Well, it's not without precedent. I mean,
right.
I mean, Zeppelin did it with that song Jamaica.
Yep.
And if you listen to Keith Richards' solo albums, they've all got a couple reggae songs on them. Like, there's this song called... I think it's called Will But You Won't, and it's it's called World of Wonder, and it's on his Main Offender album. But Keith is a huge reggae fan, and they just played this sort of as a gag, as a rock song, and it worked, and they just ended up keeping it. This has got that line about you make a dead man come, though. That's kind of unnerving.
Number three, Foreigner, Waiting for a Girl Like You.
Oh, right back into the music from a laundromat. All right, hit that girly high note, you big pussy. Come on. Jesus. If cottage cheese could sing. To make me beat myself into a coma.
You sound like you're in a coma. You're not even saying anything. You have no comment.
What is there to possibly say about this?
I don't really know.
Except
but
that I can envision lots and lots of like 9th and 10th graders and like not anyone doing that stupid white slow dance where you just rock back and forth like you're a horse with, you know, like you're a rocking horse. Just left foot, right foot. Listen to those keyboards.
Number two, Daryl Hall and John Oates, Private Eyes.
It's God.
Oh, this song played for years.
We've got to start celebrating some better birthdays here, because lately we've just been on one. We're trending down, as you would say. This has been a total bear market, rather, for these. Wasn't this from a movie? Wasn't there some movie with Don Knotts called Private Eyes, and that's where this is from?
Don't remember offhand.
I'm pretty sure that there was a Don Knotts movie that this was on the soundtrack to, which should be, by the way, which should be a mark that it's a bad song. It appears on the soundtrack to a Don Knotts film. That should be your first tip-off that the song's not good.
My dad used to work out a lot when I was this age, and I was, of course, really young, and so I'd have to go and, like, sit in the nursery at the gym or whatever while my dad would do his workout. And, of course, this was the music. This was the kind of music that they'd play while they were doing all their workout stuff. And
step and right and left.
Exactly.
And down and work and go and step and up and put a bullet in the base of my skull.
And number one, Olivia Newton-John, Let's Get Physical.
Speaking of aerobics, I wonder how many thousands of man hours of aerobics were done to this song, you know, in 1981.
I dated a guy who had an enormous crush on Olivia Newton-John.
Well, we all had enormous crushes on her. Maybe we want to hear her sing.
But my age that had an enormous crush. Yeah, exactly.
The hell are you? How early as you date? Can I just tell you this, though? When I was going to Catholic school, we had like we did the stupid talent show every year where you come out and you did some, you know, whatever. But there was this girl named Mary Ellen something or other. Totally just trashy as they come, as a lot of Catholics are. Just absolute trash. And wanted to do like a dance routine to this song. And you had to audition, right? You had a dress rehearsal for the talent show. And at the last moment, the nuns like really listened to the song and decided that that was not going to be something we were sharing with the good folks attending the talent show. Oh, this is such a horrible song. This makes Xanadu look like Stairway to Heaven. All right. More on the way, including the inaugural edition of Rick Emerson's How Chicks Think with Jolie from the front desk. Later on, Richard Nunn from the WB. More of your phone calls. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back.
Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Ugh. All right, sorry. Here's Christina with the traffic. No.
Call now to join us, 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, it's 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080. Coming up later on, we got Richard Nunn from the WB will join us. Later on, we got the hell else do we have? Oh, yeah, we have Likas coming up, followed by the world-famous Bill Hendry Show at 7 p.m. And on until the till the break of dawn and so forth. All right. Anyway, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland and 1-800-727-5955. I'm going to go back to the phones here in a while, talk to Chris. But it's time for the inaugural edition of Rick Emerson's How Chicks Think. You know, can I just tell you this? That I tried for the life of me to find a bunch of those. There's this great soundbite from What Women Want with Mel Gibson. Tried all weekend to get it. Couldn't get it. Wouldn't come together for me.
What's the soundbite?
Never mind. Just it's welcome to the show, Jolie, from the front, formerly the front desk of defense. All right. Now, you know, we stumbled into this whole thing last week because there was... I don't know. I was all, like, at loose ends about what to get Lara for her birthday, and I'm all, you know, and I'm all with the giving the gift certificates, and I was, like, verbally smacked around by everybody for that. And so guys just don't, guys have no clue what goes on in your little squirrely head sometimes. So, I mean, our brains are actually smaller, but because our brains are smaller, I think that they're easier to understand. You know what I mean? Like, our brains are less difficult to decipher because we've only got, like, three moving parts at any given time. Anyway, so the first question for How Chicks Think comes to us from Wayne in Portland. Rick, I have a question for your How Chicks Think segment. Will you ask Jolie to please, please, and then caps, please, tell us how we can tell when a woman's giving us the go-ahead? You know what I mean, right? I'm talking about the big go-ahead. The time is right to take me go-ahead. I swear, trying to understand when the time is right is like interpreting smoke signals sometimes. I would be eternally in your debt if you could clear this up for me and for men everywhere. Thanks for your time, Wayne in Portland.
All right. Can we get a little background music?
No, we cannot. What do you want, the theme from a summer place?
The theme.
Yeah, I'll get right on it. All right, so how can a guy tell when the woman's giving you the go-ahead? To seal the deal,
Wayne,
as it were.
Wayne.
Wayne, see, there it is. Wayne, you stupid man.
No,
Wayne, you penis-holding simpleton. Yeah, all right.
The thing is, you know, when we talk about these What Chicks Think deal here, there's a lot of different types of women. You know, you've got your kind of hoey, slutty ladies. And you got your in the middle. And
you know,
I
never have those. Try as I might.
Your waiting kind of girls.
Yeah.
Well, really, I think it depends on how much liquor you get in the girl.
What type of liquor would you suggest? What's the best liquor to get a girl drunk? Like, if I'm just out to just get the girl hammered, what should I be serving her?
Have you ever had a flaming... Dr. Pepper?
Have I?
Yeah.
No, I'm not because I'm not gay.
So. Yeah, those knock you down.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that like a flaming Mo?
So if I give you... where you drop the shot in the beer, right? That's it, yeah.
So a flaming Dr. Pepper will get you hosed quickly?
Sarah. Yeah.
All right.
Okay, so the deal is, really, I think with women, it's a lot about when they're ready to do it, they're going to talk to you more, they're going to be more physical, and they're going to ask you a little bit more about, you know, your past. Because, you know, women don't come right out and say it. Well, again, the typical woman.
Well, what is it like? Like, I hear sometimes if women are running their hands through their hair, like if they're touching their hair, or if they touch a guy on the forearm, it means that they're ready to...
If they touch his hair, too, or like his shoulders, or like massage.
That means they're ready to, get it on.
The more physical. But, you know, some women will come out and say, we can play around a little, but we're not going to do it.
How did you tell, you have a husband, right? How'd you tell him? Like, how did you let him know it was time to get it on?
Well, I don't know if I could...
Come on.
You know.
Tell me.
The liquor. The liquor did it all for me.
So you were just drunk and you just said, but what did you say? Like, did you say, plow me like I'm a rice fielder?
You don't say anything. You just kind of go.
So did you do it? Did you take the initiative? You can tell me. Did you grab him? Did you grab his package?
I think I did.
You grabbed the package, so that's like a definite...
I didn't grab the package. Come
right.
on, that's not how the...
All right, so it's about flaming Dr. Pepper, and when they touch your forearm.
Touch your forearm, and talk about it. You know, ask you about your past partners, or maybe what kind of underwear you're wearing.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Silky boxers?
Yes.
My
yes,
favorite.
I am.
I'm
I have those on
those
right now, actually.
Then the thongs? Do you have a pair of thongs, though, in your nice panty drawer?
Well, we'll be in CNN.